The following is a class from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 14, Verse Number 29, given by His Divine Grace, Srila Satsarup Das Goswami Prabhupada, on October 7, 1986, in Baltimore.
Maya.
Material energy.
Agyakari.
Order carrier. Yasya.
Whose?
Pishacha, devilish, Sharya, activity, Oho, O my Lord, Vibhumna, of the great, Charitam, character, Vidambanam,
simply imitation.
Jai, more devotees for Lord Jagannath. It's a little crowded, but they're still smiling. Now the translation. Demigods like Brahma also follow the religious rites observed by him. He is the controller of the material energy, which causes the creation of the material world. He is great, and therefore his devilish characteristics are simply imitation. Purport. Lord Shiva is the husband of Durga, the controller of the material energy. Durga is personified material energy, and Lord Shiva, being her husband, is the controller of the material energy. He is also the incarnation of the mode of ignorance and one of the three deities representing the Supreme Lord. As his representative, Lord Shiva is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is very great, and his renunciation of all material enjoyment is an ideal example of how one should be materially unattached. One should therefore follow in his footsteps and be unattached to matter, not imitate his uncommon acts like drinking poison. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Prasthachari Satarani. So these words are being spoken by Kasyapa Muni. He's telling of the greatness of Lord Shiva. So this brings to mind the fact that there are devotees of Lord Shiva and devotees of Lord Vishnu. We are devotees of Krishna, who is Vishnu. So different questions arise about the worships of the different deities. There should not be any real sense of disagreement, as if the Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna are rival parties, and yet somehow or other his devotees, their devotees sometimes become like rivals, or misunderstand. Certainly the devotee of Krishna has all respect, worshipful respect for Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam ita Sambhu. Sambhu is the greatest Vaishnava. So he is not God, he is expansion of God. He's Guna Avatar. But Lord Shiva also is always in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. So there's a description about this misunderstanding in the 10th canto in the Krishna book, which arises in questions by Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was asking Sukadeva, what is the ultimate goal of life? And so he was informed about pure devotional service to Krishna. So although he was satisfied with those answers, he then raised some questions in connection with the worship of Shiva and the worship of Vishnu. He said, if actually devotional service is to Krishna is the goal of life, Why is it we see that those who are not performing this bhakti unto Govinda, but say they are devotees of Shiva, that they appear to be successful in this world? And the devotees of Krishna, often we see them as not successful, not opulent materially. And yet, as far as the deities are concerned in their manifestation, Lord Shiva, he has no house. Sometimes he stays in the snow in the Himalayas or under a tree. And yet he awards his devotees so many opulences. And Lord Vishnu, he does live as the all-opulent Lord of Vaikuntha, but his devotees are very often his Brahmin mendicants without any opulence, as if by their worship they would attain this. So this is the real differences among the devotees and the motive of the devotees to approach the deities. As far as the deities themselves, they are they're in complete agreement that the goal, the highest goal is worship. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarcham. This verse was spoken by Lord Shiva. Vishnu aradhanam. He said the highest worship is Vishnu, but the worship of the Vaishnava is even greater. In the previous purport, Prabhupada explains that mostly devotees of Shiva are karmis and jnanis. He said the Mayavadis, they're usually devotees of Shiva, and they meditate as Shivaham, that I am Shiva, or I'll become Shiva, I'll become one, or they're after some material benefit. So Lord Shiva, he is in control of the material nature. He's the god of this world, the greatest demigod, Mahadeva. He is, controls his wife, who is Durga, and she controls the material energy. So that is done by Krishna's superintendence. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam haitunanina. I control through the material energy, but the direct control is done by Lord Shiva. So the devotees who approach Lord Shiva, they are involved with the modes of nature, because that is, he's in control of the mode of nature. So they're also advised to go to him if they have these material desires. Sometimes we've heard accounts of some great demon, he's advised by Narada or some sage. He says, I have this great desire. Well, who shall I worship? They say, oh, with that kind of mentality, you should worship Shiva. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, according to one's kama or lust, he's advised, if you want good health, you worship the sun god. If you want a beautiful wife, you worship Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is recommended. For persons in the who are after benedictions within the three modes of nature, which is actually most people, and although you can discuss endless varieties of benedictions that you may aspire for and materially, they come down to a very basic kind of sense gratification, which is in the material modes operates with the mind. Because in order to enjoy with the senses, you have to create the right mental atmosphere, which is actually an illusory mental atmosphere, in order to enjoy it. We enjoy something or not according to our mental adjustment. So, they're after pleasures directed by the mind, for especially the senses of the tongue and the genitals. So the obvious enjoyment is all kinds of varieties of palatable food and sex pleasure. So these are enjoyments. Of course, it's not that by becoming very, very rich or famous, you actually get more to eat or you have more sex capacity. Another mental illusion. You think, well, no, if I was rich, I could eat much better and I would have so many women attracted to me. Or so many men will come after me, says the woman. But it cannot actually be increased, but everyone is after it. So it is not really a puzzle why the devotees of Lord Vishnu are not awarded advancement in these areas of increasing these things. Because although you may get them and consider yourself successful, advancing in career or whatever, is actually advancing in entanglement for the soul in samsara. So many attachments. And the devotee who's actually on the transcendental path as advised by Krishna, he wants to go above these things. He doesn't want these things. He wants to be transcendental. Krishna advises, be transcendental to the modes of nature. And actually, if you practice devotional service, you become transcendental. Brahmabhuyaya kopate. The devotee attains to the transcendental platform by devotional service. So, in this way, the motive of the worshipper is different. So when Sukadeva was explaining this, he said, actually, this is a very good question from an analytical point of view. One wants to know that he's got the best deity and the best path, and he sees that there are others following different paths, so naturally he compares. But we shouldn't think that if we see somebody that they've got something better. In any case, that would certainly dampen one's enthusiasm for the deity. So every worshipper in the deity, they will want to make a case why their situation is the best. But actually, it should be analyzed in an objective way. Otherwise, you will feel later cheated. But Vishnu Aradhanam, worship of Vishnu, is the supreme, as we can understand that when we think about it. But although we may not be so much comparing ourselves to Shiva worshippers and feeling doubtful, there are so many different persons doing something else with a kind of god or deity, you could say, that they are after, that they are worshipping. So we should never feel unfortunate that we are a devotee, or that we lack some kind of facility for our happiness. So when Sukadeva was preaching, he said, I know that this question was also asked once by Yudhisthira Maharaj after a sacrifice in which Lord Krishna was present. And I will tell you how Lord Krishna replied to that. So he said that Krishna's the same question, Yudhisthira said, the worshippers of Shiva appear to be getting all kinds of good advancements, and worshippers of Vishnu don't appear like that. Why? So Lord Krishna said that it is actually my intention not to give my devotees things which will actually harm them. So if they come to me, even with some material desire, but if they're sincere, I only give them what is good for them. Yasyaham anugunami harisye tadhanam shanai tato janam tvajantyasya svajana dukadukitam. It's stated that I take away from my sincere worshipper his material success in such a way that I devastate it, and he becomes therefore not only poor, but then his relatives and so-called friends, they want to abandon him also, and then he surrenders to me. Of course, this doesn't happen to every devotee, We could think, oh, what a horrible fate. You lose your money and then you don't lose your friends. I hope it doesn't apply to all devotees, and not me at least. I don't know if I could take that. No, it doesn't apply to everyone. Krishna says, I give, that's a special mercy I give. If I really want to give my favor, that's what I do. So that is the of course the devotee, there are rich Vaishnavas and there are also mixed Vaishnavas. We hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, they're very, very wealthy, and they were something, they were like Vaishnavas and they were friendly to Vaishnavas, but unlike their great son who became pure Vaishnava, they were mixed. They were worldly. This is not a path for material progress to become a devotee of Vishnu. But Krishna says that's good. Hari means he takes away inauspicious things and gives you auspicious things. So this may also happen. If you don't like that, Krishna is, if you're just a materialist, then you should understand what the worship of Vishnu is leading to. It is leading to being free of material desires, like Lord Shiva, who's also described here. His renunciation of all material enjoyment is an ideal example how one should be materially unattached. His devotees are attached, but he's not. But Lord Vishnu's devotees, they're also not attached, and therefore they attain association with him. In they go back to Godhead. They get free of this material world. Whereas by accumulating material goods, nobody ever got free of this material world. Even if he had the illusion for a few brief moments, so-called years, that he was happy, then it was all taken away. But the devotee, he becomes happy in this world by his bhajan, or his service to Krishna. And he doesn't care for the material things. So with such a great treasure and such a worshipable deity, he doesn't want anything else. He doesn't want to become Brahma or to become a king of this world. So this is the devotee of the Lord. So I was making this point earlier that we should be very we should be aware of the path of devotional service, not expect material benedictions from Krishna in pure devotional service, but ask him to do with us as he likes, but just give us pure devotional service. And therefore we should not supplement the Krishna conscious philosophy and sadhana with anything that is actually devotion to something else. Because our love has to be all for Krishna. Now, of course, we know by the principle of yukta vairagya that we can use many things in Krishna's service. And that different material objects, Prabhupada always says tape recorder and dictaphone and cars and planes. But we always have to be careful of what we use or what we get involved in. And we should not actually, in the name of using something in Krishna's service, actually be deviated. One example came to my mind, maybe because of Murali Vadaka's presence, about education. I remember when we had our first Gurukul in Dallas, I was involved in very much in the beginning, but then after a while I was traveling as a sannyasi and going to colleges and other temples, and infrequently I was in touch for a while. So I began to hear that they were in introducing some new educational theories in the school, and some of the senior devotees called me on the phone. They said they didn't think it was right, But then others said, no, this is really what we need. So it was actually, they were introducing the educational theory of Montessori, which is popular in many private schools, which is based a lot on uncontrolled sense gratification is the way to raise a child. So they had gone pretty far in setting up some of the rooms. Some of the rooms were painted with certain circles and designs and things, according to their scheme. And someone had their books. And one devotee, he had become very missionary-minded about it. He said he felt that somehow or other he had been picked out to become the person who would bring Montessori into Krishna consciousness. And so this had become his mission. And he knew he wouldn't be understood, etc., but he'd had to do it. And then I remember, before I got there, another senior devotee, GBC devotee, went through the temple there. And after he left, I heard he said, his one-line summation of the situation was, they've got another guru, he said. Instead of Prabhupada, they've got another guru in Dallas. You better go there. So I went there, and that influence was removed. And the persons who persisted, they actually said, well, you're so much into this, as far as we're concerned, contaminated with it. Did you just have to completely give it up or leave? So they left. So we had to be very careful. Prabhupada says, catch the fish without getting wet. A fisherman wants to catch some fish, but he doesn't want to fall in the ocean or the lake. So in the name... But why? What is the lacking of... what is the lacking in our system that we have to supplement it with another system? Of course, the Vedas, originally, they're so comprehensive that everything is there. Military, medicine, art, politics, philosophy, religion, social management. Everything is in the different Vedas. Of course, many of those things are lost, but still, the principle that Krishna will teach you in the heart is very important. There's one verse that when one becomes a devotee, then he knows everything. And Krishna says, I will help them in the heart. And another instruction from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati that Prabhupada used to quote, he said, my spiritual master said, there's no time to waste learning something new. That whatever you have, as you come to Krishna consciousness, you just turn that over and use it. And then Krishna will help you. Don't go off and think, well, I'll have to, if I'm going to do this service, I won't be able to do it until I learn something else. Now, you don't have so much time, so just try to develop for things for Krishna's service. And... by experience, if you're sincere, Krishna will help you in the heart. And if you thoroughly know the philosophy of Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion, then actually those principles, they will guide you. And even if you do have to utilize something of this material world, you'll be able to distinguish... The example is the Paramhamsa, the swan. He's able to take out of a mixture of milk and water the milk essence. So the example is that a devotee can take out of this world Krishna in any situation. But it's Krishna he takes out. Prabhupada once gave that example. He said that there was a devotee there who was with him who was carving Radha Krishna out of wood. He said, he's doing it nicely. He said, this is what we have to do in this world, somehow or other. We out of this material world and these elements, we have to manifest Krishna by our work. So, I think there's also a saying Prabhupada used to quote some Indian saying, somebody says, I tried to make a murti or a painting of Shiva, but it has come out like a monkey. So if you are going to utilize something material and you say, don't worry, I won't get in trouble, you'll see this will be a very nice Krishna deity, and it comes out like a monkey, then you're in trouble. Then you weren't able to be yukta vairagya. It has to come out Krishna. The product has to be the result has to be Krishna conscious, palina paricite. If the result has some nice features, but it's not Krishna conscious, you say, you tried to make the deity, but it came out like a monkey. And everyone says, the Vaishnavas, who are the ultimate judges in this matter, they immediately say, even a child, that's not Krishna. When you say, well, but look, look at his tail, isn't it nicely done? So, who cares? What devotee cares about that? Those who are, Prabhupada says, the verse says, those who are thoroughly honest, they like the Krishna conscious product. But those persons who are like crows or hunters of prostitutes, they may appreciate all the other features, the non-Krishna conscious features. So they may say, yes, it may not be Krishna, but it is very nicely done. Because they're interested in many, many things. Many things for their subject matter. But the devotee wants to see the result, whether it was Krishna. Prabhupada said his spiritual master, he was a great writer and editor, so he had devotees write articles, and he would look at an article when it was written, and if he saw many, many times that the word Krishna was there and Chaitanya was there, he would say, this is all right, you can print it. Because he said, maybe it wasn't that great, but at least somehow or other it must be good that he's mentioned Krishna many times. Of course, this is this is an absolute platform. But certainly the main image or the message has to be Krishna conscious. So we have to be very careful not to lament about our situation in Krishna consciousness. Because why should we lament? If there's whatever we're suffering from, that's due to our past activities. And now we're serving Krishna. We have the best deity and the best process. And for that, you have to study and chant and hear, and you'll appreciate it. And then the more you appreciate it, you'll never think, well, maybe there's something defective about this path, and that's why I'm suffering. You'll never resent what you've done, or go back on your vows and promises. So better to suffer, actually. We're not here to get relief from suffering in Krishna consciousness. We are here to serve Krishna. But if we think, no, I can't put up with it, and then we tried for some material solution, that is not good. So there are so many examples of this. Another example is, and here's our psychologist, hope I don't say anything to offend the profession. But any profession is just zeros all in a row unless you put the one in front, Krishna, and then you could have something wonderful. But sometimes, because we are struggling in devotional service, that's a fact, we need help. So sometimes we have individuals or married couples, they need some counseling. So we're hoping that we will have expert devotees who understand these diseases of the mind and frustrations of the mind and why people can't work together, and will give them good advice. Of course, the Guru and Krishna, the Guru as representative of Krishna, and certainly Krishna himself, he's the best psychiatrist. Krishna gives the psychology of the soul and the supreme and how to go back to Godhead, become free of bondage in the Bhagavad Gita. But there's one Swami who teaches the perennial psychology of the Bhagavad Gita, and he tries to just screw out mundane psychological applications from Krishna's instructions, missing the real point that Krishna gives many good instructions that everyone admires. How to become detached, how to be equipoised, how to realize yourself. But the most important instruction is, you should do your activities to please me. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this case, the psychiatrist, Krishna, he's actually the object of our worship and all our activities. So his prime advice as an instructor or a teacher is, surrender to me. No other psychiatrist can say that. But these persons who approach the Bhagavad Gita like that, they just think Krishna is a good teacher, but they miss the real point of what he's teaching. He's teaching himself. You know this perennial psychology, Swami?
Swami Ram.
Yeah, I didn't even want to say his name. So he has, just like the followers of Lord Shiva, he has many followers. They'd like to pay a big sum of money and go and get some, because he doesn't teach in his so-called sectarian way and teach Krishna. They get some relief from their problems and go back to deal with material life, never having understood that Bhagavad Gita is teaching sarva dharmam parityajna mam ekam saranam, but surrender to me. That is useless, and that's of course touching the Bhagavad Gita. But there are many who don't even touch the Bhagavad Gita, and they also give advice. And we have seen sometimes devotees feel some initial enlivenment. Oh, the problems that weren't solved by my regular execution of Krishna consciousness are being solved in another way. This is good, I'll use it for Krishna. But after a while, they get so enthused with this new teaching and the teachers and the process, which of course has its own philosophy other than surrender to Krishna, and they start thinking, well, actually, this is better than Krishna consciousness. It wasn't in Krishna. I didn't get helped by Krishna. I didn't get helped by my spiritual master. I wrote him so many letters, he wrote me back. I still didn't feel any better. But now that I've got this other thing, it's really working. The 10 steps to happiness, or whatever the process is. So I have to be honest, and this is better than Krishna consciousness. And then it happens. You get the jaundice of the soul, so to speak, and you start looking at Krishna consciousness materially. And thinking, as I was, the whole point of a discussion of the followers, you start thinking, actually, the devotees, they're not really winners, like they're losers. And there's so many people in the material world who are getting ahead. Look at the devotees aren't. They must be here for some all kinds of different material lackings. And I don't even know if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why don't I ask my new material tutor about Krishna? And then he'll say, well, no, Krishna is not God. There's no God. You're God. And then it happens that we fall into the greatest maya. So a devotee should be content with the programs in Krishna consciousness that are actually within this culture, and or that can be easily, harmlessly adapted to this culture, and not find fault with the process, because we simply want Krishna to take away everything that is inauspicious and give us the one auspicious thing, service at his lotus feet. In this way, we are not like the devotees of Shiva, who just want to approach the God to get so many other things which are their plans for happiness. So I'll stop here if there's some questions. Rally Vadik?
I have two questions for Rupa. The first was, you had said that the Bhagavatam gives instruction, if you want good health, you worship the sun god. If you want a wife, you worship this. To look at that part of the Bhagavatam, don't we have to go to the conclusion of that, which is
no matter what you have, all desires or no desires, you should worship Vishnu. Yeah. Well, that's the intelligent conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the question?
I just wanted to Because that seems like Bhagavatam says two different things.
Yeah, oh, so if that's the conclusion, then why is there any demigod worship?
Yeah, why are they recommended?
Well, actually, if you make that conclusion, then that's, you're intelligent. And it doesn't even have to be put together by you. Krishna himself explicitly puts together in different verses, Kamais, Taister, Hitagyana, Na Devata. Don't worship the demigods. But despite that, less intelligent people, they won't come to that conclusion. They just want the material object, and if they actually think that another god or process will get it sooner, they'll just go for that. Whatever benefits they get from the demigods are also approved by Krishna. But the demigods are there for, in the example I was giving, they are straight ways to those material desires, whereas worshipping Vishnu may not get the desire. The verse says, whatever you desire, worship Vishnu. It doesn't say that he will always deliver the material thing. So that's all they want to know. But you'll get eternal life, you'll get bhakti. Well, what about the beautiful wife? I said, well, of course you can get a beautiful wife in Krishna consciousness too. But they don't like all the surrender to Vishnu. They just want the material thing. So they don't do it.
Is that Krishna will take away one's material opulence? Will he take away spiritual, not the spiritual progress, but within devotional service, will he also take away things and leave one in a wretched condition?
Well, Prabhupada says that Krishna, I don't exactly remember where, but at least there's one purport. He says Krishna will protect, we always hear, Konti apati jani hina me bhakta panasiti, the devotee. Or even better, when Krishna says, yoga shama vaham yaham, I will protect what they have, and what they don't have, I'll give them. So anyway, there's one purport where he says, that means not only spiritually, but things which a devotee has acquired for the service of Krishna. Krishna will protect that too. But obviously, it's not a business, like a business formula. Therefore, we see devotees don't always have the material things that they require. Then why don't they? Sometimes we become very experts as to Krishna's will, and say, well, these devotees, they're well off because they're doing the right thing and Krishna's reciprocating with them, and these devotees are not doing the right thing, that's why they're poor. But either way, the devotee's business in the particular temple or part of the world is to see it as Krishna's mercy and try to improve himself or improve their yatra by whatever means they can. Otherwise, if you want complete assurance or control of the thing, then it's like karma kandiya, where they feel that by the rituals or by the jagya, they're in control, and God is secondary. That we've done what we're supposed to. Now you have to deliver. So we do what we're supposed to, and we need to carry out Krishna's mission. Like we need a big school, we want big buildings. But Krishna, he responds according to what's best for us. Now why he doesn't give us or does give us, and that we have to be intelligent about, and keep trying and keep praying for guidance. So we may make mistakes, and we pray that Krishna will help us understand better, like why we don't have enough money to serve him as we would like to, but neither can we abandon our faithful practice. So however Krishna is dealing with us, we have to be satisfied with that and then keep trying to do something better for him. It's a combination of our endeavor and Krishna's mercy. So actually a devotee, he doesn't like question that to the point of doubt. It's not something that he's always thinking about. Well, why If we're devotees, why doesn't Krishna give us more material things, or why doesn't he protect our material things? Rather, we just keep trying to be in intimate relationship with Krishna and keep trying to improve the situation. For example, we'll try to earn money to expand his services, but at the same time we won't abandon our spiritual practices in order to do that. Krishna gave Sudama Vipra tremendous wealth, and others he kept, Sridhar Kolavecha, he kept him poor. And both were devotees. Yes?
Question, sir. When we speak of Lord Shiva, do we, in the Bhagavatam, is it usually referred to, is his name usually referred to in a collective form, in his 11 forms?
Well, no, just like Vishnu. There are many Vishnus, but there may be a Vishnu in a particular pastime, Vamana, or some other Vishnu. So there's some person. Sometimes it may be collective, but if there's a particular form of Shiva talking, then it's a particular Rudra or Sadashiva, whatever. What's the other question?
Generally, the planet of Brahma is referred as the highest planet in the universe, or elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. To say that Shiva Loka is somewhere between Loka and the localized Vishnu planet, and so, it's material also.
Yeah. So you can say that Brahma Loka is the highest within the universe because Shiva Loka is outside of it, and yet it's not in the spiritual world. So it's everything about you. Shiva like creates a category of his own. He's not. Everyone is either a Jiva or they're Vishnu. Brahma is Jiva. And Vishnu and his expansions are Jiva, Vishnu, but Shiva is—he's not Jiva, but he's not Vishnu. And Prabhupada, or the Brahma Samhita, gives the example of milk that is treated and becomes yogurt. So it's milk, but it's not milk. There's a whole science of Shiva. Yes.
Shri Prabhupada, getting back to that discussion again before this question. I was wondering, do you think it's all right if we rationalize it in this way, that Krishna wants to give all the facility, but he only gives the material opulence to the extent that we won't get carried away and get washed out in it. So he gives all that material to
yes.
the extent that we will keep on that path.
Yes.
And we won't get washed out. So all we have to do is we develop our devotion to him, and all those things will automatically come, because then we will be more qualified to handle the maya part, you know, or the
yes,
and whatever.
I think that's a good explanation of it. There are some indications of that in things Prabhupada said. He said that that Krishna could give us the whole world in a few days. He said, but you have to be humble. So. We think, well, Krishna says he wants his name spread in every town and village, and certainly if the world were Krishna conscious, that would be pleasing to him. So why doesn't he give us all facility to take over nations, etc.? So, if it's not happening, that's according to his will for so many different... Krishna fulfills so many different things at once, such as the free will of all the non-devotees who don't want to be devotees. But the principle you're stating is definitely true. That